You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to Cool Stuff Ride Home. Marcus Paff once again alongside Reggie Rizzou on today's episode. Why do fish swim in schools? There's more to it than you think. A rare medical condition is cured for the first time in history, all thanks to a team of doctors in the UK. And on this day in history, who the heck is Plenty Wingo? We'll tell you why he was made famous for walking backwards during the Great Depression. That's all coming up on Cool Stuff. Most of us have come to know that fish swim in schools, large clusters of fish swimming in synchronicity that would appear to serve as protection, the old strength in numbers philosophy, or at the very least, the I only have to swim faster than the slowest fish in my school to avoid being eaten mentality. Of course, scientists already know that fish school as a defense mechanism, but researchers from Johns Hopkins University just discovered there's more to the story than previously thought. Swimming in schools actually makes fish more silent than they otherwise would be swimming alone. Per senior author Rajat Mittal, quote, "It's widely known that swimming in groups provides fish with added protection from predators, but we question whether it also contributes to reducing their noise. Our results suggest that the substantial decrease in their acoustic signature when swimming in groups compared to solo swimming may indeed be another factor driving the formation of fish schools," end quote. Per GNN, the team created a 3D model based on the common mackerel to simulate different numbers of fish swimming, various formations, how close they swam to one another, and the degrees to which their movements synced. Their model simulates 1 to 9 mackerel being propelled forward by their tail fins and can be applied to many different fish species. What they found was that a school of fish moving together in just the right way was incredibly effective at noise reduction. A school of 7 fish sounded like a single fish. Said Mittal, quote, "A predator, such as a shark, may perceive it as hearing a lone fish instead of a group. That could have significant implications for prey fish," end quote. Now, per the researchers in their paper, published in the peer-reviewed journal Bioinspiration and Biomimetics, the biggest key to sound reduction was the synchronization of the school's tail flapping, or lack thereof. If fish moved in unison, flapping their tail fins at the same time, the sound added up, and there was no reduction in total sound. But if they alternated tail flaps, the fish canceled out each other's sound, the researchers found, which seems kind of counterintuitive, but true. Back to Mittal, quote, "Sound is a wave. Two waves can either add up if they are exactly in phase, or they can cancel each other if they are exactly out of phase. That's kind of what's happening here, though we're talking about faint sounds that would barely be audible to a human," end quote. Co-author Zhi Zhu also pointed out that the tail fin movements designed to reduce sound also generate flow interaction between the fish, allowing them to swim faster while using less energy. Quote, "We find that reduction in flow-generated noise does not have to come at the expense of performance. We found cases where significant reductions in noise are accompanied by noticeable increases in per capita thrust due to the hydrodynamic interactions between the swimmers," end quote. The team was surprised to find that the sound reduction benefits take effect as soon as one swimming fish joins another. Noise reduction grows as more fish join a school, but the team does expect the benefits have to cap off at some point. So, Reggie, I think this is the latest interesting example of things found in nature, notably with animals, that maybe we try to apply to our own technology in some form or fashion.
I guess what you're saying, like a sub should have flippers at, I guess, countersync. They're not really in sync. They're in sync, but they're not in sync, you know, going opposite directions to make it a more silent sub.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, it sounds a little far-fetched. But as I'm thinking about this, and I'm not articulating it in the greatest manner, but there are a lot of things that we have applied to our own technology whether it be flying or some other activity in which the initial idea was conceived of based on something that was observed in nature.
Yeah, we have jets and planes out there that were obviously designed after certain birds. And I'm just thinking how crazy it is, how in sync those fish have to be. Because if that tail flapping is off just a little bit, you're not going to get that reduction in sound. Instead, it's going to make more sound. So they have to be perfectly in sync to have that done. That's just kind of crazy to think how nature can do that.
100%. And the fact that it's clearly intuitive in these fish, not something that presumably is learned. You're born with that innate sense, that innate ability to know that's what you do. You swim with a bunch of other fish and you swim in a certain way to, lack of a better way of describing it, to avoid being eaten and prolong your life.
As you're doing the story, all I can think of is Dory from Finding Dory, or the sequel to Finding Nemo, was her just singing, just keep swimming, just that's all I can get in my head now.
By the way, did they ever find Nemo or Dory for that matter?
Yeah,
or are they still out there somewhere?
They found them and they're on a nice restaurant. No.
Oh, clearly they weren't flapping their tails in synchronicity then.
No. I think they're fine. They're all living happy now. I don't know. They haven't made a third one yet.
I've stayed up many a nights wondering where Nemo and Dory might eventually wind up.
You know your favorite sparkling water, Bubbly? Well, guess what? It just got better because Bubbly is growing its family. That's right. Bubbly now has Bubbly Burst. Bubbly Burst is a sparkling water beverage with extra fruit flavor. An extra burst of fruit flavor for an extra burst of fun. There's zero sugar added. It's low calorie. It's the refreshing bubbles that you love in Bubbly, but it's 1% juice. Each sip is filled with flavorful refreshment that adds a burst of fun and happiness to your day. And just like choosing amongst your favorite child, it's impossible. There's so many good flavors. Peach mango, triple berry, cherry lemonade, watermelon lime, pineapple tangerine, and tropical punch. I can't choose a favorite. But don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself today. Find Bubbly Burst in a store near you.
After more than 10 years seeking answers, a teenager with an extremely rare genetic condition has become the first in the world to be cured, thanks to a team of doctors in the UK. Kaiju represented one of just 21 globally recorded cases of a lymphatic condition called Wild syndrome. She also suffered from severe chylous ascites, a condition in which lymphatic fluid collects within the abdomen. Okai was discharged from Staffordshire Children's Hospital at Royal Stoke following a five-week stay recently. During that time, surgeons fixed a leak in her liver and successfully drained 28 liters of fluid that had built up in her abdomen. Think about that, 28 liters. The best analogy I can throw out there, 28 bottles of the screw top Coke you may purchase at a convenience store, all in one teenage girl. Unreal. Now, Kai's mom, Ning Chen, said, quote, Kai was born with an abnormal lymphatic system and her left arm was very swollen. Throughout her childhood, we were under the care of a number of different hospitals to try to find out what the matter was, but nobody knew the cause. We tried everything from restrictive diets to even flying to China for treatment. Having been transferred to so many hospitals, we're very excited to finally be going home. I still cannot believe it, end quote. The 13-year-old Zhu was finally referred to Dr. Mona Massad, a consultant interventional radiologist at Royal Stoke, and was admitted under the care of Dr. Yvonne Slater, a consultant pediatric gastroenterologist at Staffordshire Children's Hospital. This after those caring for Kai in London identified Dr. Massad, an expert in lymphatic intervention, as the only consultant in the UK who could perform such complex and rare interventions. Long quote upcoming here, but in the words of Dr. Massad, quote, Kai was in a very difficult situation. After being seen by different centers in the UK and China, nobody could diagnose the cause of the leak that was leading to the buildup of lymphatic fluid into her abdomen over the years. That leak caused two major problems. The first being the large amount of fluids which were leaking into her abdominal space, causing severe abdominal distension and pressure on internal organs. The second was that if we drained these fluids to relieve the pressure, we would be removing all the nutritional fluid from her body, protein, fat, antibodies, electrolytes, and white blood cells. These types of leaks are usually very difficult and multifactorial. There is not just one cause for it. So clinically and radiologically, we tried to eliminate the causes, starting with the least invasive. We began with a procedure which has not been carried out in the UK on a child before, and only a handful of times on an adult, dilation of the thoracic duct to improve lymphatic drainage. The procedure was challenging, but went very successfully. Unfortunately, though, it did not help, and Kai was still accumulating fluid in her abdomen. So the second stage was to see if the liver was the cause of the leak. This was a very challenging procedure as we needed to visualize and block lymphatic vessels in the liver that measure less than 1/10 of a millimeter in adults. Because of Kai's age and size, we had to especially order smaller needles that would work. We successfully managed to find a large leak that was going into her abdominal cavity from the left lobe in her liver and were able to repair the leak using a special surgical glue, end quote. Now, I can only imagine that when she says a large leak, it's all relative here because you heard everything in that quote leading up to this and needing special needles to come in because you're dealing with a part of the body that is less than 1/10 of a millimeter in adults. And in this case, Kai being just 13 years old. Unbelievable. Dr. Massad added, quote, I am extremely grateful to Dr. Yvonne Slater, who has been very supportive and highly knowledgeable in managing Kai clinically, draining 28 liters of highly nutritional fluid safely and optimizing her nutritional state to enable us to perform the procedure safely, end quote. Always one of those feel-good stories when you learn of something like this, especially in a child. You really don't know, or at least I really don't know, not being a medical expert of any kind, what this might mean for the future. And if there's anything that can be built off of here, I would say maybe not, Reg, because there are only 21 globally documented cases of this condition, which is unbelievable. I mean, in terms of speaking to the rarity of it all and probably why doctors had such a hard time getting to the bottom of it in the first place. But you know what? Feel good all around for Kai Zhu and the fact that she can go and be a normal teenager for the first time in her life, it would seem.
Yeah, I'm happy they could help Kai, but obviously with only 21 cases, I doubt there's a ton of money being spent on research for this compared to, you know, cancer or something like that, where I feel like a lot of the funds are going. With only 21 cases, I mean, I feel bad for the other 20 people that have it, but I'm assuming there's not a lot of research going into fixing this issue.
I agree. I would find that unlikely, but hopefully, you know, perhaps there's something that can be taken from this one case study here in which it was treated successfully and applied in those other instances.
Yeah. And I can't imagine having 28 liters of anything anywhere in my body. That seems like a lot.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
There are a lot of things that we could cover for this day in history, from the Titanic sinking to the assassination of President Lincoln, but I'm not going to get into those. Instead, for April 15th, I'm going back to 1931 for the first backwards walk across America. Plenty Wingo, and no, I'm not saying plenty wrong. It's P-L-E-N-N-I-E, so Plenty Wingo. He was a cafe owner, like most people, struggling during the Great Depression. The bank eventually closed on his business and took it, and he ended up with a job that paid 17 cents an hour and worked 10-hour days. So he wasn't making very much money, so he came up with an idea. Seeing the fame people were having being the first at something, as he compared his upcoming adventure to Charles Lindbergh, you know, being the first across the Atlantic there. He had a couple other examples as well. He decided he would jump in on that fame and make money by being the first person to walk backwards across the United States. He talked to his doctor in March of 1931, and his doctor gave him some exercises to work on to help with it. By the way, Pliny's wife and his daughter, they were not on board with this plan. They were not a fan of it. But on April 15th, 1931, he put on a suit and tie with black shiny shoes and his custom mirror sunglasses so he could see behind him, saying, quote, "If a man aimed to walk backward around the world, best to leave no doubt in the minds of passersby that he was doing so with purpose," end quote. So I guess you got to look good, right? You got to sell it. You're doing it for a reason.
I'm just loving this entire picture being painted of a guy telling his wife and child what the plan is and having them look at him cross-eyed because, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to walk backwards across the country. That's probably the way to get us out of this hole we're in with no money. So I'm going to give it a shot. And you know what? I need to make some custom sunglasses that allow me to see behind me as I move too. You guys on board with this? No, wow. I can't imagine why.
He did get some sponsors. In fact, one report I saw said that the government paid him $250 to hold a sign promoting bonds, stocks and bonds, you know, buy bonds from the government. So he earned some money along the way. He got some fame and some sponsors. When he did make that money, he did send it back to his wife and child. But when he made it from Santa Monica, California to Chicago, it wasn't just newspaper stories that were covering him. He made the appearance in the Universal newsreel that was shown before movies around the world. So as he made his little trek, people would give him food, rooms, sometimes cash, sometimes clothes, you know, which I think is nice since he was doing this because he had no money. Now, as I said, he sent money to his family and he'd send postcards and they'd send stuff back. But when Pliny reached Philadelphia, he received some bad news. Quote, "Della had not yet expressed the outrage of a reasonable woman might have felt if her husband of 16 years and the father of her teenage daughter had packed a suitcase and left home in the thick of what was the worst and most difficult years in the history of man," end quote. So if you didn't catch what was happening there, his unhappy wife divorced him.
Couldn't have seen that one coming, but no. I don't know. Well, I mean, he's sending money back, so he's clearly trying to do something good here rather than make 17 cents an hour. I know presence is worth a lot too, but wow. I'm also picturing one of those early movie previews with the old-timey voice guy. "Look at the remarkable Pliny Wingo. He's walking backwards across America. Support him today by coming out and donating clothes, food, whatever you have."
That's probably exactly how it went too. And you know, this his divorce didn't deter him in any way. He kept walking backwards. He ended up boarding a boat to Germany to keep his trek going with the goal of making it around the world. Now, he did walk up the gangplank backwards to continue his journey, but then on the boat, he didn't continue to walk backwards. He always had a rule that he could walk forward as long as he went back to the place where he ended and then start his journey from there. So
naturally, that seems like a logical rule to just decide upon.
Well, if you get to there and you want to go to your bed at night, you don't need to walk to your bed backwards. You go down to the beginning or the entrance of the hotel and you start walking backwards again. Random rules. You know how it goes.
Of course I do. I'm always setting arbitrary rules for myself.
Supposedly, when he was on the boat, he got seasick. He actually gained passage by working his way on the boat. So he gained passage. He got seasick. And supposedly, there was a controversy with another crewman. Now, I feel like this is all speculation, but they didn't get along. He ended up leaving the boat early, and his job was laundry. So he put a bunch of lye in the person's bed. So when the person took a shower and lay down in their bed, it started burning. Supposedly, again, this seems like it would be rumors, so I don't know.
How do you get off this boat bound for Germany early?
Europe, maybe? I don't know. I guess you don't always have to go to Germany. But when he did finally make it to Europe.
For part of the journey?
A little backstroke. Yep. There's a lot of mystery in the story. I feel like some of it has been exaggerated in some way over time. And I'm trying to get to the meaning or the actual truth of it. But supposedly, again, several countries in Europe made him prove that he could walk backwards before they allowed him to continue on. He was going to go to China and then take a boat back to the U.S. But that changed when he was arrested in Turkey. So after about 8,000 miles into his backwards journey, it ended. Now, this is where it gets murky again, that he was able to leave Turkey, but we're not exactly sure how that happened. One author who wrote a book about Pliny described it as mysterious. So I don't know how he got out of jail in Turkey, but he was able to head back home.
Mm.
That is bizarre. Yeah, I kind of want to know some of the details there, but I don't have them. Now, he did end up going back home, marrying his ex and then divorcing her again. Then he found a new wife in 1946, and that marriage lasted 45 years. In 1976, when Pliny was 81, he did another 400-mile backwards walk and appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He died in 1993 at the age of 98. So he lived a long life, but supposedly he did end up dying fairly poor. Like, he got a little bit of fame out of this, but not enough to have riches throughout his life.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not all that surprised he didn't amass a vast empire for walking backwards across the country. This has a very Forrest Gump feel to it as well. No, he's not running, but walking backwards, just a bizarre shenanigan for the sake of attention, much like many of the weird and wacky Guinness World Record attempts we throw on here. Of course, nowadays we hear about 10 of these things a week, as back then it was probably more unheard of. So I guess good on Pliny Wingo and his creativity, but also interesting choice, sir.
Yeah, I mean, really, he was born 100 years too early. He'd have huge TikTok fame or whatever nowadays, right? Doing videos as he's going, and you know he'd have a following. Somebody would follow him.
Pliny here, walking backwards again through the state of Missouri. Great, let me check out that reel on my social media.
When I get to the hotel, I make sure I use this meal kit to make my food. Yes, brought to you by.
Oh, yeah, he'd be up to his eyeballs in free product, at least.
That's right.
But even 100 years later, not sure that would be enough to save this guy's marriage.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. Reach us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. Also, like us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm Reggie Rizzou. He's Marcus Path. We'll be back with more cool stuff tomorrow.